In the book of Nehemiah, the Lord is building a city, and it's a city of joy. It's a city of joy because it's a city of people who live with the Lord, and life with the Lord is good. See, the Lord is loving, so he's building a city where people love one another. The Lord is completely fair. So he's building a city where things are completely fair. The Lord cares about people who get left out. So he's building a city where no one is left out. Wouldn't you love to live in a city like that? Wouldn't you? Think of some of the cities we know where there is hatred in the streets, where men can drive a van into a crowd, where things are unfair, where some people live in big, solid houses and other people live in tower blocks that aren't safe, where some people get left out and end up all alone. And the sad thing is I know so many people who think the God of the Bible is out to spoil things. He's out to make people miserable. No. The Lord is building a city to show the world that life with him is good. Life with him is actually the life that we long for. It's a city of joy. And we'll see more of that as the book of Nehemiah goes on, the joy in the city. But back in the days of Nehemiah, there was a problem, and the problem was the walls around the city were broken. And you say, well, why is that a problem? It's a problem because the enemies of God were gathered around the city, and they wanted to get in, and they wanted to spoil the city, and they wanted to make things miserable. And that's why the Lord sent Nehemiah, do you remember, all the way from Susa, to get people to rebuild the walls, to keep the people safe. And where we left off last week was chapter 2, verse 18, when the people all said, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. And chapter 3 is the Lord telling us what happened next. Now, I'm going to read a section of it. I need to warn you, it's probably one of the strangest Bible readings you have ever heard. It's a list of very funny-sounding names. And as I read the funny-sounding names, see if you can spot what all these funny-sounding people are doing, okay? See if you can spot what they're up to. Are you ready? Nehemiah chapter 3, I'm going to start reading at verse 1, and I'm going to go to verse 11. See what you think they're up to. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zachar, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired the next section, and next to him, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshazabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Bana, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. The Jeshanah gate was repaired by Joiada, son of Pesiah, and Meshullam, son of Besodeiah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah. Melatiah of Gibeon and Jadon of Meronoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Uzziel, son of Harbiah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section, and Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall.
Rephaiah, son of Hur, ruler of a half-district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section. Adjoining this, Jedahah, son of Harumaph, made repairs opposite his house, and Hattush, son of Hashbaniah, made repairs next to him. Malkijah, son of Harim, and Hashub, son of Pahath-Moab, repaired another section in the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Halohesh, ruler of a half-district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. Did you spot it? All those funny names, did you spot what they were all doing? Shout it out. What were they all doing? They were building the wall, of course. They were all building the wall. That's the point. Everyone joined in. Well, I say everyone. It wasn't quite everyone, was it? Do you remember? Do you remember the people who didn't join in? Did you catch them? Verse 5. The nobles of Tekoa, sort of upper class types who maybe they would have been happy to write a check or perhaps make speeches, but they weren't really willing to get their hands dirty moving bricks. They thought it was beneath them. But the point is, they were the only people who didn't join in. Apart from them, everyone joined in. Now, the eagle-eyed amongst you would have noticed piles of boxes at the back. And what we need to do with these boxes, we actually need to build a wall up here on the stage at the front, okay? And the question is, what is the best way of doing that? Remember, there are enemies around the city, so they want to get in and spoil things, so we need to build the wall fast. How are we going to do it? How about we get the vicar to build the wall? We get the vicar to build the wall because, I mean, that's his job, isn't it? Well, no. How about we set up a wall-building committee and we get them to build the wall and the rest of us can go and do something else? Good plan? What's the best plan? What's the best way of, what do you reckon? Get the boxes at the back. But what's the best way to do it? Together, we're going to all join in. Okay, so when I say go in a moment, here's what we're going to do. The people at the back are going to start passing the boxes down the rows to the people on the front who are going to start building a wall on the stage, okay? We've got two teams, really, this team and that team. We're going to build two sections, but they're going to meet in the middle, so it's not quite a competition, but we will be watching carefully. Okay, are you ready? Go! Let's all join together and build the wall. Just as people put the finishing touches on, do you notice over there, Eliashib, the high priest, he's leading the way. And I probably need to peek through. I haven't really thought about this, the height of the wall. I'll need to peek through here. Did you notice in verse 5, the men of Tekoa? Tekoa was 10 miles away from Jerusalem. That means they trekked 10 miles, probably on foot, to help, to join in. That probably meant they had to leave their farms behind, but that was the kind of sacrifice they were prepared to make. And it was just a shame about the nobles. So big cheer for the men of Tekoa, boo for the nobles of Tekoa. And did you spot in verse 8, Uzziel, one of the goldsmiths, and Hananiah, one of the perfume makers? Wasn't it great how they were working together and how the merchants were also helping in? And did you see verse 12? There's a guy called Shalom who, it says, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. He got the whole family joining in. And best of all is good old Meremoth. You meet him in verse 4 where it says he does one section. And then instead of saying, well, I've done my bit now, I've done my section, I'm not on the rota this week, verse 21, you realize the same guy repairs another section. Really thrown his heart into it. Now, I haven't really thought this through because the screen is behind me and now obscured by the boxes. And I wasn't really reckoning on the height of the boxes, but that's all part of the fun. But let me just read a little bit of 17 to 21. And What is the picture? Okay, listen carefully. What is the picture? Listen to the repeated words. What's the picture being painted? Next to him, the repairs were made by the Levites under Rehum, son of Bani. Beside him, Hashabiah, ruler of half the district of Keilah, carried out repairs for his district. Next to him, the repairs were made by their countrymen, ruler of the other half district of Keilah. Next to him, Ezra, son of Jeshua, ruler of Mizpah, has repaired another section from a point facing the ascent to the armory as far as the angle. And next to him, Baruch, son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section. What's the repeated phrase? Next to him. Do you get the picture? They've all joined in and they're all working next to each other, shoulder to shoulder in repairing the wall. Now, God is building a city, and all his people join in, men and women and young and old, shoulder to shoulder. They all joined in. And you say, well, this is all well and good and everything, but what's this got to do with us? We haven't got any walls that need building. Well, joining with building the walls was about joining in with what God was doing. And in the Old Testament, God's people were particularly in a city, Jerusalem. But like the rest of the Old Testament, you see, that city was all part of God's plan to save the whole world. And he promised that one day his people would go out from the city and they would go to the whole world. They would go to all tribes and all nations and all people. All across the world, people would come to see how good it is to live with God. And they would taste the joy of it. And like all the rest of his promises, that is a promise the Lord kept. And he kept it by sending his son. So do you see the pattern? He sent Nehemiah to Jerusalem to build people in that city. Then about 400 years later, he sent Jesus to build his people all across the world. And friends, that's what church is. Church is the people God is building through his son. And he calls us all to join in. And joining in won't be about building an actual wall of cardboard boxes or whatever. It'll be about building up people. It'll be about working hard to make sure everyone is safe. It will be about building people up so they grow closer to the Lord Jesus and closer to one another, so that together we show the whole world how great he is, how good he is, what a joy it is to know him. So if we were kind of writing a chapter 3, a Nehemiah chapter 3 for our life together, it'd be something like this. We'd go, oh, look, there's Sarah, who serves coffee so that people feel welcome. Oh, look, there's Dan. There's Dan, who's so good at speaking to the person who's new because he doesn't want anyone to feel alone. And there's Rachel, who prays for the people in her small group every day. And there's Ian, who's practicing his drums to help us sing praise to the Lord. And there are Matt and Jenny, who take time every night to read the Bible and pray with their children because they want them. They want them to grow in their relationship with Jesus. And there's Dave. There's Dave, who's gone round to visit John because John's having a hard time at the moment. And there's there's the Jenkins family. They've always got people round their home. There's always an extra place at the meal table because they just love having people round, because they love it when young and old mix and married and single mix, because they really think that when different ages and stages come together, that really builds people up in their relationship with God. And they love doing that. And over there, you'll see Lou, who's preparing for junior church. And there is, over there, Steve. Steve, who meets once a week with a brand new Christian to read the Bible with him and pray with him, just to help him to grow in his relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, well, that's great, but I'm not really sure if I can join in. I'm not sure I've got anything to offer. Especially if you're a member of junior church, or Source, or 180 maybe. One of the beautiful things that Jesus says is that in the people God is building, there are no
little people. Everyone is a valuable member. So when someone is new at junior church and they don't know anyone else and you go and make friends with them, you are joining in with what God is doing. Or maybe you think, well, I don't know, all I do is I sort of put out the Bibles and I collect the pens at the end. And it's lovely when you do that, and thank you so much for when you do that. But you think, well, it's nothing really, it's no big. It's not nothing. You are joining in with what God is doing. And he is building the church to show the world how great he is. And you're part of that. You're part of that. So what the Lord is saying to us through Nehemiah chapter 3 is, don't be like the nobles of Tekoa. Remember the nobles of Tekoa? They didn't join in. Don't be like them. Join in. Friends, it seems to me there are lots of things we could give our lives to. Lots of things. Here is something worth giving your life to. Here is the project at the heart of human history. This is what the God who made us is doing. He's building a people of all nations. And he says to all of us this afternoon, it's a people of all nations, it's for all eternity, and it's a city of joy. So join in. Join in with what I'm doing. We're going to celebrate what God is doing by singing together. You'll see the words of our next song. They're words based on Psalm 48, when the people of God in the Old Testament were singing about Jerusalem, the city of joy. Let's stand to sing. Do sit down. I'm sorry to say that after the very happy picture of chapter 3, things get a little darker, because there are gaps in the walls and there are wobbly bits that start to fall, and there are low bits that the enemy think they can get over, and it means there's an awful lot that still needs doing. We haven't quite done a health and safety check on this, but we're going to be all right. Oh dear. Oh dear. There's a lot still to be done. The ruins, loads of them. And the enemies gather round the city of God. And you see what they say at the beginning of chapter 4. They gathered round and they say, chapter 4, verse 1, when Sanballat, who's one of the enemies, heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? And Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones. You see, the enemies mock the people of God. That wall you're building is so feeble, if even a fox jumped on it, it would fall down. And then the enemies threaten the people of God. They threaten to fight them. Do you see in verse 7? But when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. And do you see how that made the people feel? Look at verse 10. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. There's so much rubble. We can't rebuild the wall. They're running out of strength.
And verse 11, and also our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. And they're afraid of the enemy and what they're saying and what they're plotting. And then verse 12, then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack you. Wherever you turn, they will attack you. They just kept going on and on about the fact that the enemies had them surrounded. So what was the point? What was the point in building the wall if the enemies have got us surrounded? And don't you think there are times when we know a little bit about how they feel? Perhaps you want to tell a friend about Jesus. Jesus is so good. You want to share that good news with your friend, but she just laughs at you. And so you think, I'll just keep my head down. And you think, here we are. We're trying to build the people of God. We're trying to build a church to show the people of this city how good God is. And so many people just don't seem to want to know. And we think, what's the point? And I guess we know a little bit of what the people in Nehemiah's day felt, that sense of strength giving out. You just feel a bit weary, a bit tired. You think, it's not worth it. We're not going to make any difference. Look at all the rubble, and all the enemies are standing around. What's the point? Well, what do they do? What do they do? Two things. I don't know whether you better see it on the screen now. We're miles out of sync with all this. Totally forgot about this. They pray, first of all. Can anyone see that? I can see that. I'm enjoying it. They pray. They pray. Look at verse 4. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. Now, you might think that's a slightly mean prayer to pray. Why didn't they pray for the enemies to become friends? Well, I think what they're doing is they are saying the enemies are too big for them to deal with. They're saying, Lord, these enemies are too big for us. Will you please deal with them? Now, I need some help here. Let's just move some of these things. I need someone just to help me move for a project we're going to do in a moment. I need someone to put this this box of trowels and things up onto this chair. So is there someone from junior church who could just help me just lift these up onto the chair? That'd be great. Remember, the motto is don't be like the nobles of Tekoa. All join in. Don't be like the nobles of Tekoa. Katie, what a star you are. Now, what you need to do is you just pick up this bag of trowels and things. It's all the sort of stuff we'll need for building the wall. And I just love it if you could just put them on the chair. Yeah. What's up? Is that difficult? It is. That is quite hard, isn't it? Do we? What do you think we need? More people. Do you think we need someone? We need someone strong, really, don't we? Yeah. So someone strong. And earlier I saw someone who I thought looked quite strong. Where's Jed? I thought he looked quite strong. Do you think he looks quite strong? Do you think he looks strong enough? Yes. Jed, I wonder whether you can help Katie and me, because we've got this bag of trowels and things, and we just need them up on the chair. Look at that strong man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jed. Katie, what you get? Do you get a Mars bar? Because Mars bars make you strong. Okay? So you get a Mars bar. If you don't like Mars bars, I can swap it for something else. They're very good for you. And Jed, you just get the pleasure and the glory, okay? Thank you so much. That was very simple, but friends, that is prayer. Because prayer is when you say, I can't do this. I'm not strong enough. It's too heavy for me. It's too big. And so you turn to the God who is... Well, do you remember the God Nehemiah turned to? Remember last week? Chapter 1, verse 5. The God who is great and awesome. And you see, look with me at chapter 4, verse 14. Do you see?
Nehemiah says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is, what is he? Great and awesome. Great and awesome. So do you see what they're doing? When we pray, when they pray, they're saying, Lord, we can't do it. We can't build the wall. The job is too big. The enemies are too fierce and we're too small. So we turn to you because you are great and awesome. And the Bible says we are in, all of us, a spiritual battle, and there will be opposition. And it'll be hard. And by ourselves, we won't be able to build the church because the job's too big and the enemies are too fierce and we are too small. And that's why we turn to the Lord and we say, Lord, please, would you build your church? And isn't it a relief when we feel we've run out of strength to turn to the God who is great and awesome? That's why people who are joining in with what God is doing are the sort of people who make a point of being at the prayer meeting. You'll be at the prayer meeting next week because you'll know by ourselves we can't do it. We're too small. We're too weak. We need to pray. That's the first thing they did. They prayed. The second thing they did when it got tough was they pulled together. Look with me at verse 9. But we prayed to our God and we posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. And then look on at verse 13. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords and spears and bows. And then look down at verse 16. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears and shields and bows and armor. Did you get the picture? Let's just make sure we've got that picture clear in our minds. What I need is, I need a load of people to come to the front and be guards. I need a load of, remember, don't be like the nobles of Tekoa. This is an all-age thing. I need some people to grab swords or an axe or something. I need loads of people. I need more people than this. I need people of all ages and all stages. You don't want that one. Do you want that? There's a pirate. There's a cutlass straight from the ancient Near East. That's brilliant. Come on, who else? Come and grab some. No, you need to be down here guarding. Sorry, I didn't explain that. You need to be the enemies are all out there, and you need to be facing the enemies. Come and join. Face the enemies, okay? You're guarding the workers. Now I need a load of workers. I need people with trowels to join me up on the stage. Have you got any swords? No, you're going to have to be workers. So come up on stage, and you need to get rebuilding the wall behind the people who are guarding. So people have got, keep your eyes peeled on the enemies out there. You guys working on, I need some more people to work on the wall. I really do. That's brilliant. I need more people working on the wall. That's good. So you need to rebuild this wall, that side. I need some height there. I need some height here. Brilliant. Okay. Now, yeah, you start building. So there is the picture. They're pulling together. And do you see in verse 14? That's great. There's just while that all happens, that's fine. Look at verse 14. Keep guarding them. They're working away. Look at verse 14. Nehemiah says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Do you notice? They're not just getting the job done. They're fighting for the people they love. And in church life, there are lots of jobs that need doing, aren't there? But the point about the jobs is you're doing them for people you love. So you're not just doing the sound desk, you're doing it for people you love because you want them to hear the word of God. Or you're not just preparing for small group, like job you got to do, you're doing it for the people you love because you want them to grow in their relationship with God. And you see how they pull together in verse 19. Then I said to the nobles, keep guarding, folks, keep your eyes on those enemies. They're looking very suspicious. Verse 19, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. So wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there, and our God will fight for us. Did you get the picture? The enemy is approaching, and who can you see behind the wall there? They're all at, who's at the end? I can't see myself. There's Simon at the end. The enemy is approaching Simon, okay, and hold on. In that moment, Nehemiah blows his horn, and when Nehemiah blows his horn, everyone runs to that end to protect Simon, okay? So I'm going to blow my horn, and everyone runs to that end to protect Simon, all in front of Simon, okay? Brilliant. And you might say, well, there they are, fighting, but they're small. How are they going to fight? Well, do you remember the lovely line? What did it say? At the end of verse, I've lost it. Completely lost it. End of verse 20, our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. They're a little bit like emperor penguins. Now, this isn't going to work at all. I haven't thought this through in the slightest. Will this work? You see emperor penguin? You won't see a penguin at all. You get it on the... You can see the outline of it. They can see a sort of head of an emperor penguin. If you look carefully, you can see ice on their beaks. Because the point about emperor penguins is they're in the Antarctic. It's really, really cold. And if they were to stand alone, the icy winds would pick them off. So what they do is they stand together in groups that you can just about see faintly on the sides of these cardboard boxes. They stand really close to one another to keep each other warm. And they take it in turns to stand on the edge, and then they rotate in to keep each other warm, to keep each other safe. And that is the picture of church. We're pulling together to keep each other safe. So if we spot someone in small group or in our family or perhaps on the edge of church life a little bit, we spot them and we think, they're in danger of wandering away from Jesus. Perhaps some friends are mocking them and it's causing them to doubt. Or perhaps there's a particular battle they're fighting against, a particular sin. Or perhaps they're just worn out and they've not been around for a while. British culture says, well, just don't interfere with them. You mustn't interfere with people. But we're the people of God. And the people of God love each other. And love means pulling together. It means you rally around. Remember when Simon was in trouble? We just leave him in trouble. They all raced across and stood by him. And that's what we're called to do in our life together. We will stand by each other. We'll fight alongside each other. We'll say, how can I help you? You say, yeah, but we are quite small. How are we going to do this? Well, do you remember the verse we just looked at? Our God will fight for us. Because he fights, we can fight. If he wasn't fighting, we'd give up, we'd all go home. But because he fights, we can be strong. So friends, do you see the picture? Nehemiah 3 and 4. God is building his people. And what he's saying to us is, don't be like the nobles of Tekoa. Join in. Join in. And it will be hard. There will be opposition. So remember that our God is great and awesome. And remember to turn to him in prayer. And remember that we're not called to do the Christian life alone. We're called to pull together. We need one another. Maybe you feel at this point, well, it's okay for them back then. I mean, they had that great leader to spur them on. They had Nehemiah. Friends, we have a greater leader than they have. We have a greater Nehemiah because we have the Lord Jesus. And he is our leader. He's the head of our church. And he is in charge of this building project. And he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Do you see what he's saying? I will build my church. Nothing will stop me. And one day, he'll finish what he's building. And one day, we will enjoy life with him forever. In his eternal city of joy. And it'll be wonderful. It'll be wonderful. And until then, he says, join in. Join in. Thank you very much, all the guards and all the workers. Why don't you find your seats again? I've got one more thing for us to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to take a moment to be quiet. And you see the question that's written on the sheet? Lord, how can I join in? Just going to spend a moment and just ask that question to the Lord. Lord, how can I join in? And it won't be about official jobs necessarily. It won't be about signing up to rotas necessarily. It's about relationships. How can I build people up? How can I join in with what you're doing? And we'll spend some time in quiet. And maybe you can write an idea down on the post-it note that everyone's got. And then a little bit, the musicians are going to strike up. And we'll all come to the front and we'll stick our post-it notes on the wall. And you can either stick them on the wall, or maybe you don't want someone to see what you've put, so you can just slip it down a crack in the wall. Okay? But let's be quiet for the moment. How can I join in? And then when the music starts, we'll put those post-it notes on the wall, and that will be us saying, Lord, this is me, this is how I want to join in, this is how I want to be part of this. But for now, let's be quiet.